greet you in Jesus' name this morning, the precious name of Jesus this morning. It's a blessing to be gathered in this way. I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to gather here together in this way. I want to bless you, Justin, Denise. It's a beautiful Saturday morning. We're excited for you. To take a new step in life, believing that God has drawn you together. realize we're a little crowded in here this morning, but maybe those of you that can, we could stand and pray together. Those of you that can't, you can just stay seated. Eternal Father, as we bow here in your presence this morning, we bow here before you to worship you, for truly you are worthy. Father, we ask that your presence and guidance would be here this morning. It is our fervent prayer, Father, that we could gather and assemble here in the fear of God this morning. I do thank you for this opportunity. We do pray your blessing upon Justin and Denise here. We ask for your anointing and blessing upon our hearts this morning. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We will be reading a portion of Scripture in Genesis chapter 2. Sally alluded to it already this morning. I want to thank the Lord for things that were shared here already this morning. It's a blessing. So thankful for the love of God this morning. Praise the Lord. We're gathered here this morning. We're gathered here this morning as believers. We're gathered here this morning to observe something that God is doing. We're gathered here to observe. We're witnesses today. We have a desire today to see God do something, to see God create something today. Do you believe that? To see God in heaven, come here and actually create something. Something that didn't exist this morning. Something brand new. Something brand new. Something that hasn't existed. We're not here just merely for a celebration today. It is a celebration. It's a joyful time. But God in His wisdom, we're here to observe the creation of something brand new, a brand new home, one that didn't exist this morning, one that didn't exist last week. And in this day of mass manufacturing in the world, homes are created one at a time. And I praise God for that. Homes are created one at a time. And it's a blessing, tremendous blessing. The title that I have here for this morning is a very simple one. The title that I gave this these few thoughts is Establishing a Christian Home. I will be reading here in Genesis chapter 2. I know it's a very familiar text, but we'll read here, beginning in verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then shall your eyes be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat. and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And we could read on there, but we'll just stop there for the sake of time. We notice some things here in this passage. I'd like to notice just a few things in the introduction here. We notice that Adam was created in the image of God. The word of God tells us here that Adam was created in the image of God. And in the image of God, he was perfect. Adam was perfect. He was flawless, had to have been. This was before the fall. But we notice something here, that though Adam was created perfect, he had a need. I don't know that I can explain that. But though Adam was created perfect, we know he was. God saw that he had a need for a helpmeet. This was before the fall. God saw that he had need for a companion. As I was reading this passage this time, I had this thought that at the end of God's original creative work, what was the last thing that God created? At the end of God's creation, he created something very special. After he had created man and he had created woman, he created marriage. And I believe that was the crown of his creation. He brought Adam and Eve together in a very beautiful way. And that's what we'd like to call home this morning. We'd like to talk about establishing a Christian home. It's a precious word. Sally was talking about it this morning. Home is a precious word. We're not talking about a house. We're not talking about a building. We're talking about home. A place that is in your heart, that place you call home. You remember it fondly. If you're a little older, you think back. And it's that place where you experience so many things in your early life. It's a home. It's a place we call home. Know that for most of us, it brings back fond memories. We notice also here that God set in motion a plan for humanity, an ongoing plan. And it says here that therefore, God speaking prophetically here, therefore, because in the future, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And so Adam and Eve he's not talking about Adam and Eve, he's talking about us today. We notice here, in original creation, we notice the establishment of headship order. We notice that here. Adam was first created, Eve was created as his helpmeet. So today as we talk about home, I'm very thankful today. I'm very thankful to be gathered in a place. It's exciting to me to see so many people that would come out to observe a marriage and a wedding. That's a tremendous blessing in the day in which we live, when marriage is being downplayed and the devil seems to be doing everything he can to destroy the very foundations of society. Marriage, the home, it's the fabric of society. Society, when the home crumbles, as the homes crumble, society itself will crumble. It always has. So it's special today to be gathered together, establishing for one purpose. We're just gathered here for one purpose today, to establish a new home. All these people gathered to do one thing today. That's amazing. I think that's amazing. I praise God for it. We establish a new home today to the glory of God. We don't do this as the heathen do. The heathen do it in the spirit of Samson. Samson, who told his dad, he said, "Get her for me. She pleases me." We don't do it with that heart. We do it to the glory of God. We establish a new home today. Justin and Denise, today God hands to you personally from God himself, hands you a very precious gift. It comes from God. No one here can give it to you. It comes from God. And that's special. It's very personal. It's from God to you. This gift, the gift that you receive from God today, is a relationship. It's a relationship. It's the closest, most intimate, most personal human relationship. Today, God hands it to you. That's a blessing. It's a relationship so close that it completes you. It completes you. It's fulfilling. It meets needs that you have. It's also given to you for the purpose that to help you find and fulfill God's purpose for your life. God gives you this gift. We'll come back more to this later. We read here in our text, we read that God established them in Eden. God established this new home in Eden. Eden was a place of pleasure and delight. Eden was a place where things were perfect in Eden. Things were, God was there. The very presence of God was there. And it was just a perfect place. It was a place where they could just enjoy each other and fellowship together. And they were intimate. They learned to know each other. It was a perfect environment for a relationship. It was a perfect environment for this relationship to grow and for them to grow in it and experience it. God was there. God himself was there. What a blessing. We live today in a different context. We're not living in Eden. We're not living in that place of pleasure and delight where there is no sin. We're not living there today. We're living in our context where we start as we grow up and where we originate. We start in a different place. However, I'd like to share with you today that God has designed an environment for you. God has designed an environment, if you will, a place called home, a place where this relationship that you receive today, a place where it can blossom and flourish and grow. And I'd like to talk to you about that home today, if you could. I'd like to speak a little bit visionary today. I know that I appreciate messages where we talk about all the practical do's and don'ts and all those things, and I probably don't have that today. I don't have time for that. I'd like to talk about more of the big picture, your home. I'd like to talk about that today. Overall, the overall. And I'd like to lead you. I'd like to ask you to make some commitments for you, Justin and Denise, as you seek to establish your home. Are you excited about that? Are you excited about going from here, establishing a new home? Brand new, something that never was before. That's a blessing. That's exciting. I'd like to give you a little bit of an outline for this home. A little bit, as the Lord lays some thoughts on my heart, I'd like to give you a little bit of an outline in the few moments that we have here. I'd like to talk about the foundation of this home. And I'd like to talk about the walls. I'd like to talk about the roof of this home that you're building today. I'd like to give you a vision, something that you can be in pursuit of. It's not something you're going to do in a day. It's not something you're going to do in a week. It's a pursuit. It's a lifelong pursuit. My wife and I are endeavoring to walk on that journey. We've not arrived either. And so I tremble to share these things today because it's kind of exposes myself. I realize that we have needs and we're just a work in process as well. We haven't arrived. But an outline for your home, that will protect this gift that you get today, that relationship. It's a beautiful thing. The beautiful thing is that God provides everything you need for this relationship to perfectly prosper. God provides everything you need for that to prosper. Let's talk about the foundation. As you begin this journey of your home, make a commitment. Make this commitment together. On your knees, make this commitment together to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. To build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We read in Isaiah 26, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste, or will not be disturbed, or will not come into panic, will not be destroyed," is what that means. God is good. "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Make a commitment today. I know I'm going fast here, but make a commitment today to build your life on Jesus Christ. His word being your guiding light. With the flood of iniquity that's upon the earth. You know, I looked into divorce rate, and I find that divorce rate in the U.S. is actually declining, supposedly. Well, then, but if you read a little further, it's because people are no longer marrying. And so, but today, with the flood of iniquity that's coming upon the earth, the Word of God is a sure foundation. And picture with me, if you would, just in the eye of your mind, picture the foundation of a home. You might picture stones, you might picture a concrete foundation. The old foundations had block, maybe. Picture with me the foundation of a home. Many homes, many, many homes have huge gaps in the foundation, huge holes in the foundation. And yet the structure still kind of stands in it, but it's kind of wobbles there, but there's huge gaps in the foundation. I'd encourage you to make it the pursuit of your life to build your home on the Lord Jesus, on Jesus Christ. I'd like to make this some practical things here. You know, in Ephesians 5, we have some. I was going to read this, but I'll let you read it. You can read it, study it together. You probably have. I'm sure you have. But in Ephesians 5, we read some very powerful verses about marriage. Some very powerful verses. It says, husbands, love your wives. How much? Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That much. It says, wives, see that you reverence your husbands. I know I'm not getting all of that. Homes that do not pursue relating in that way have huge holes in the foundation. Huge holes in the foundation. Here's another one. Here's another one. Jesus said, these are words written in the Bible. Jesus says, he that looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his own heart. And a man who will not by the grace of God, who will not by the grace of God make a covenant with his eyes, a man who will not do that, it's like tearing huge gaps in the foundation of his home. It destroys that relationship. It allows the enemy to come in and destroy in many ways. Here's another one. Taking seriously what Jesus taught about forgiveness. You know, marriage is a place where we exercise forgiveness often, a lot. We're human. We don't always do everything right, and a commitment to forgiveness is essential. Many homes are weakened because one partner or both, they take up a bitterness or unforgiveness, and they won't let it go, and they won't forgive, and the home is weakened, tragically weakened. But the Word of God is a sure foundation. Make a commitment to find answers to the questions of life and the decisions that you make in the Word of God. And build your home on that foundation. You can't go wrong. I'd like to encourage the rest of us today that foundations can be restored under existing buildings. Praise the Lord. That if you're here today and you failed to do that, today foundations can be restored under existing buildings. And I praise the Lord through repentance and turning to God in obedience and faith to His Word. And I praise the Lord for that today. We're going to move on. We'd like to talk about walls. We'd like to talk about the walls of this home. In Isaiah 26, we read, it says that in this day, in that day, speaking prophetically, in the future, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Salvation. God appoints salvation for the walls of your home. Let's talk about that a little bit this morning. In this passage that we read in Genesis, I'd like to point out to us some contrast. We read at the end of Genesis chapter 2 that these two souls. These two souls were in the Garden of Eden, and they were enjoying this together. There was an innocence there, and there was a purity there. There was a holiness there, and there was a freedom there. They were just free with each other. There was no they just knew each other intimately. The relationship was doing fine. It was prospering. It was flourishing. But where we stopped reading in Genesis chapter 3, we see something completely different. We see these two people. We see them now. They're guilty. Now they're ashamed. Now they're hurting, and now they're covering themselves, and they're hiding from each other. They're separating from each other, and that's what sin does. So we see that. We see a very different picture, and it's only a few verses apart. We don't know how long the time was, but it's a very different picture, and it's what sin does in a marriage. That's what sin will do. Sin takes away the freedom. It takes away the ability to relate, and the relationship gets damaged. Now, the man's saying she did it. The man, there's accusation. All of a sudden, instead of intimacy and closeness, there's accusation those things are there. It's just a dark and a sad situation. That's what sin does in a marriage. It just destroys it. Destroys it from the very inside. It just destroys it. The relationship they had was never the same. It was destroyed by sin. I'm thankful today that Justin and Denise, you don't have to start there. I praise God that we're in the gospel age. We're in the age of the gospel. If we would have read on in our text in Genesis chapter 3, we would read that the Lord God promised to send a redeemer. He told the woman that your seed will crush the head of the serpent, and that there'll be a redeemer. We live in that day. We live in that day. The serpent's head is crushed. Hallelujah. In the fullness of time, God has sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth as a man. He went about doing good. He went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing the sick, ministering to the poor, and doing the will of God. And at the end of this ministry, He allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross, shedding His blood as an atonement for sin. Not for our sins only, beloved, but for the sins of the whole world. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They laid Him in a tomb. They laid Him in a tomb. He was dead. He died for our transgressions. But on the third day, He was resurrected. He rose again. By the power of God, He rose again. The Lord Jesus Christ, He overcame death. He overcame death. By the power of God, He ascended to heaven. And today, He's seated at the right hand of God. What does that mean for us today? That by His death and resurrection, Jesus crushed the serpent's head. 1 John 3:8 says, For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. That He might destroy the works of the devil. What does this mean for us practically? In a practical way, what does this mean for us? If I could here, I'd like to share just a brief testimony of my wife and I. I'll just do this briefly, and I'd endeavor to do it to the glory of God. But my wife and I were married. We got married in 1998, and we were happily married. We enjoyed our marriage. We enjoyed each other. We had a blessed marriage, but it was very surface. It was like this package. It was beautiful. We enjoyed it. It was beautiful, but it couldn't go anywhere. It couldn't get any deeper. It couldn't go any deeper. And why was that? It was because of sin. There was sin in my life, and I believe also sin in her life. And that those two pictures of marriage in Genesis that we saw, the picture of the one of just freedom and innocence and purity, it wasn't there. We were that second picture. We had sin in our lives. The freedom wasn't there. It just wasn't there. Though we loved each other, we didn't fight. We got along. We It wasn't awful. But I remember so well one day at a wedding, much like this. There was a lot of people, and the Lord had been working in my life. But under the preaching of the Word of God that day, I was so convicted. And I just sat there and I just wept. I was weeping, and I remember I wasn't even ashamed of it. There were some people looking at me, and I was just crying. I didn't know why. I didn't know what was wrong, but under the preaching of the Word of God that day, I was convicted. There was just a conviction that came upon my heart, and I knew that the things that he was saying, things that he was talking about marriage and all those things, I knew that it just wasn't me. It just wasn't me. I knew it, and I was convicted. I just remember going home that night. I just remember that late that night. It was a family wedding, so we got home late. And late that night, I told my wife, we just need to talk. And we sat there that night, and we talked till the wee hours of the morning, and we just got it all out in the open. We just got it all out in the open, and that night, by the grace of God, we ended up communicating deeper than we ever had. With experiencing things in our relationship that we'd never experienced before. And though it wasn't maybe all that deep, we were just getting past the first layer maybe. But we got deeper. We got a little deeper. God met with us. The God of heaven. We're confessing our sins and calling on the name of the Lord. And the God of heaven came and met with us there. And it was precious. He gave us, in our marriage, walls of salvation. Walls of salvation. The walls of salvation are not walls of mortar and brick and stone that you put around your house to keep the sin out. The walls of salvation is a person of Jesus Christ living in the inner man that keeps sin out. That's the walls of salvation. They're inner walls. They're not exterior walls that you hide behind. They're inner walls of light. They're inner walls of light. The light came in. We opened up in transparency. And we opened up our eyes to our hearts to the light. And we brought out the sin and the things that were in there. And we brought it out, and the light of the gospel came in. God met with us there, gave us walls of salvation. It's having the light of God in the inner man that keeps sin out and helps that relationship can prosper. Justin and Denise, I trust that's where you are today. That's where you're starting, with a completely open and transparent life. Completely open, nothing hidden, nothing in the closet, nothing, just wide open. But that needs to be maintained. That needs to be maintained as you go through life. The Bible says that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. As we walk in the light, as we walk in the light together, we have fellowship one with another. This relationship can grow, and the blood continues to cleanse us from sin. And it takes away the sin that would destroy it, the sin that would keep it from happening. I'd like to talk a little bit about the roof of this house that you're beginning today, the roof of this home. The Bible tells us that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You need, Justin, you need the blessing of God on your marriage. If it's going to prosper, you need the blessing of God. I like to call that the covering. Psalm 91, the Lord says I'll cover you under my wings. We need it. We need that desperately, particularly in the evil day in which we live. We need the blessing of God on our lives. We need the blessing of God over our home. The best of all, Justin, is He desires to give it. He desires to give it. He desires for you to have it. It's His utmost desire for you to have His full blessing on your marriage. But it's conditional. It's conditional. I'd like to talk about two things. Brother Sally shared with us this morning. It's just some very beautiful and powerful things. But I'd like to share with you two things, Justin, that will absolutely ensure the blessing of God on your home. By the Word of God, I tell you that. By the Word of God. Psalm 128 says this: Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. And you could read on there, gives some wonderful promise. His wife shall be as a fruitful vine, his children as olive plants around about his table. But the world in which we live is rapidly losing the fear of God. And I'd like to tell you today, I'd like to ask you to make a commitment. Make a commitment to keep in your home a fear of God. It's important. As the world loses the fear of God, they also lose its blessing. It's very obvious. It's becoming apparent. You know, in about an hour, Justin, you could make a plaque. You could make a plaque and hang it above your door. You could, in about an hour with a CNC router, you could make a plaque that says, "Ask for me in my house, we will serve the Lord." And you could put that above the front door of your house, and it would be a blessing to have it there. But I'm here to tell you that a commitment to fear God is going to take a little longer than that. A commitment to fear God is going to take a lifetime. It's going to take a lifetime. It's going to take a daily. It's going to take a daily getting up and encouraging your home to love and reverence and fear God. It's going to take a lifetime. But the wonderful thing is you have the full blessing of God. The full blessing of God. Secondly, God commands his blessing in Psalm 133, where brethren dwell together in unity. God, there, God commands a blessing. He just can't restrain himself. He pours it out. Where brethren dwell together in unity. Unity is not what most people think it is. Unity, for many people, unity is where, you know, I give in sometimes and she gives in sometimes, and we tolerate each other most of the time, and we just kind of go on like that through life, and they call that unity. That's not unity, Justin. Unity unity is where the man who is leading seeks with all his heart to know the will of God, and in the fear of God lays his decisions before the Lord and endeavors to make them in the fear of God, considering his wife's input, by all means, considering that, but ultimately knowing that the responsibility for the decision lies on your shoulders. And Denise, for you to wholeheartedly submit to that decision and engage with all your heart. That's unity. There God commands his blessing. He pours out his blessing. We need the blessing of God. I was thinking of this, I thought of old barns. I'm a little bit sentimental, but as you drive down the road and you see old barns, and it always tugs at my heart to see an old barn just kind of half fallen down, just kind of crumbling, and it just kind of, because that old barn represents something. It represents a dream somebody had. It represents somebody's hard work and his investment, and he was going to do something. He had plans for that. And today it's just kind of crumbling. It's just falling. But you know why old barns crumble? You know why old barns go down? By and large, the roof goes bad. A little bit at a time. Leaks in the roof. Leaks in the roof, and gradually the structure weakens. That's the way it is with the blessing of God. If you let it get weak, it'll begin to erode. The structure will weaken. That's what happens. The beautiful thing is that roofs can be repaired. If you're here today, if roofs can be repaired, the fear of God can be restored, the blessing of God can be brought back on a home. That can happen. The full blessing of God can just be brought back if we just humble ourselves, submit to him. God will do that. I'd like to bring this to a close. Justin, Denise, as I said before, God personally hands you today a gift. As you open your hand, you join your hands together, God gives you a gift. It's a precious gift. It's a gift most precious, created by God, and it's given to you today by God. It's a personal gift from God. Treasure it. It's not a gift, Justin, to set on a shelf of memories and to think about on anniversaries. That's not what it is. Don't be one of those people, Justin, who looks back at their wedding day as the best day of their marriage. Don't be one of those people. They call it their first love. I'd like to tell you today, Justin, that your first love is not a day. It's not an event. It's not your wedding day. It's not feelings that you experience today. That's not your first love. Your first love is this person sitting right beside your side. That's your first love humanly speaking. It's a person. It's a relationship to be experienced, to grow into, to go through life. It's a relationship to be enjoyed. It's a relationship maybe to be opened. And you find most precious things. You get past the bright and flowery layer. You get past that, all the fun, the excitement, and you get past that as you open it. And you know what opens the relationship, Justin? It's communication, largely. It's communication in the grace of God. It opens it. You know, it takes you in deeper, into the relationship. And you find in here something maybe not so colorful. I don't know if you can see that, something not so colorful, but beautiful nonetheless, very beautiful. And as you open it, it's something different. It's more fragile. It's more delicate. You'll find that in your relationship, Justin, that there's a need to be sensitive. Most of us aren't very sensitive as men. We tend to be a little bit rough, and we tend to just kind of say what we think and you know, maybe let her wear it. You know that gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. Learn to be gentle. There's aspects of a relationship that are very fragile. They're very fragile. You can do a lot of damage, and it can be hard to repair with harsh words and those kind of things. And I am persuaded of better things of you. But communication is the key. I'd like to talk about another aspect of marriage. We see here a paper. I know maybe some in the back can't see it, but we see here a paper that has the same roses on it, but they're darker. They're very beautiful if you look closely, but they're darker. And I'd like to talk about a little bit, just for a few moments here, about the trials of life. There's enough grace in marriage, Justin, to get you through every trial. I believe that. I've seen that. Losses, valleys in life, failures, loss of loved ones. And the key is still communication. But along with this, as I think Brother Josh talked about it a little bit, the key of commitment. In those trials, sometimes the communication doesn't even work. There is a need for commitment and love. And hanging on. And when you do that, and as you do that, you will find that it'll become more precious. Sadly today, there are many, many marriages. There are many, many marriages who still have never opened the first layer. They still. If you talk to them about their marriage, and they say, "Oh yeah, we got married in 1982, and it was wonderful. We had this wonderful wedding, and it was so beautiful, and we loved each other, and we had this wonderful honeymoon." And they talk about their marriage, but they've never unwrapped it. They've never opened it up. Well, my wife and I are still learning. We're still endeavoring. We're still pressing forward. We're still trying to do that. I think you get the picture. A couple of admonitions, Brother Justin. These are just for me. I would encourage you to live simply. Many marriages are hindered by the pursuit of luxury. Live simply. Live within your means. Secondly, do life together. Do life together. Do what you do together. I would say that the hobbies that you can't do together, I would just maybe replace them with something that you can. I don't know what you do. I don't know what you like to do. But men across the globe, they have their hobbies, and they go hunting, fishing, and golfing, and whatever else they can think of to try to get alone and have some fun. Well, do life together. Just purpose to do life together, and you'll grow together. Enjoy, do things that you can enjoy doing together. And I would say, lastly, I would say one more thing. This one's biblical, but I would say love the church of Jesus Christ. Purpose to do that. Make a commitment to love the church. She is the bride of Christ. And today, Justin, if there's stirrings in your heart towards Denise, and I'm sure there are, if there's stirrings in your heart towards her, and there's a feeling of this love and this bonding, it's growing, then you're beginning to get a picture of the feelings that the Lord Jesus Christ has towards his church and the church that he's going to come back for. Make much of the church in your life. It'll be a blessing to your home. God bless you.
Justin and Denise, blessed are your ears today for hearing what you just heard. That is the true recipe for a godly home. And I just want to emphasize that you're not just Justin and Denise, but everyone here today. You've heard the wonderful words of life. You've heard some wonderful things that if they are lived out and applied to our lives will help us unto God and help us to eternal life. So I want to thank God that I was here as well. Thank you for this opportunity to be part of your wedding here. I was just thinking in these recent months as you have anticipated marriage, I thought of this verse in Isaiah 62. It says here in verse 5, "For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as a bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over you." It was just a beautiful, the future restoration of Zion and how God says that he's going to do to the church what you are experiencing this morning. You're rejoicing over Denise, and Denise is rejoicing over you. God is going to do that to his bride, the church of Jesus Christ. And that's just a precious thought to me as you build your godly home that we heard about here this morning. So at this time, Justin and Denise, if you want to come forward. Justin and Denise, two questions for both of you. Do you believe holy matrimony is an ordinance created and established by God our Father in heaven, sanctioned by our Lord Jesus Christ, and is a covenant to be entered into with fear of God?
I do.
Are you free from all other relationships, believing holy matrimony is a covenant that is to be entered into by one man and one woman, and that only death can annul this sacred covenant? As it also says in Mark chapter 10, verse 9, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Justin, Denise desires to be your wedded wife. Today she gives you her heart and life and all the love that she can give. She can't offer you anything more precious. Her joy and happiness would depend a lot on your character and the way you conduct yourself. May it not matter what others say or do, or even if the whole world should turn against her, may you never abandon her. It is not the material things you provide that will give her lasting joy, but your constant love and the same kindness and courtesies you showered on her during your courtship. By God's grace, may your love be a special love, and may it always grow. Justin, will you, in the presence of God and these witnesses, take Denise, the sister, by your side to be your wedded wife? Will you commit to love and cherish her until death does part? Provide and care for her in health and in sickness, in prosperity and in adversity. Share with her the joys and sorrows of life. Exercise patience, kindness, forbearance towards her. Live with her in peace as becomes a faithful husband, forsaking all others, keeping yourself only for her as long as you both shall live.
Yes.
Denise, Justin desires to be your husband. Today he gives you his heart and life and all the love that he can give. He can't offer you anything more precious. His joy and fulfillment will depend a lot on your character and the way you conduct yourself. In your love and support, he will find inspiration and strength. He expects you to give him encouragement, joy, and confidence. And most importantly, respect. May it not matter what others say or do, or even if the whole world should turn against him. May you never abandon him. May your love, respect, and your life always be an inspiration to him. May you shower him with the same constant love and kindness and courtesies you've showed him during your courtship. By God's grace, may your love be a special love, and may it always grow. Denise, will you, in the presence of God and these witnesses, take Justin to be the brother by your side to be your wedded husband? Will you commit to honor, love, and cherish him until death does part? In health, in sickness, in prosperity, in adversity, share with him the joys and sorrows of life. Exercise patience, kindness, and forbearance toward him. Live with him in peace as becomes a faithful Christian wife. And forsaking all others, keeping yourself only for him as long as you both shall live.
Yes, I will.
You can join hands and having made these vows to each other today before God and these witnesses, and in accordance with the laws of God, I pronounce you husband and wife. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, with you, and bless this union abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Go forth as a husband and wife. Be faithful. Love each other. Live in peace. Fear God and keep his commandments and expand his kingdom. The congregation can rise for prayer. Lord, you have seen and heard this covenant that was being formed by your Spirit here this morning. I pray for Justin. I pray for Denise. Lord, bless them in the coming days. Lord, strengthen them. You know the path that you have laid out before them, before they were ever born. And so we're asking this morning that you would prepare them. We don't ask that you would give them an easy life, but we pray that you would help them to be faithful. We pray that they would always love each other and that they would have a peaceful home and that children would grow up and to be God-fearing, fear God and to keep his commandments. We pray for Justin that he could be the leader of the home. We pray for Denise that she could be a caring, supportive wife throughout the years. And if you should grant them children, Lord Jesus, we just pray that they could bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I thank you for this union. I thank you for this new home that is being formed at this very moment. I pray that you would guide them in the days to come. Give them a heart to support the Church of Jesus Christ, first and foremost, as well as their marriage. And we know those go hand in hand. We don't know which one would be more important, Lord, but you do. And so we just ask that you would help them this morning to support their parents as well, Lord, just to live in and to honor their parents as well as they go forward in this new home. We thank you for them today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Parents, come forward. You can kneel. Friends and neighbors, brothers and sisters, it is with joy that we present to you Mr. and Mrs. Justin Graber.
Magnificent, marvelous, matchless love, too vast and astounding to tell. Forever existing in worlds above, now offered and given to all. O fountain of beauty eternal, the Father, the Spirit, the Son, sufficient and endlessly generous, magnificent, marvelous, matchless love. Creation is brimming with thankfulness, the mountains exultant they stand. The seasons rejoice in your faithfulness, all life is sustained by your hand. You crown every meadow with color, you marvelous, matchless love. How great, how sure His love endures forevermore. Magnificent, marvelous, matchless love, united in Your resurrection, You lift us to infinite highs. Could anything sever or take us from magnificent, marvelous, matchless love? How great, how sure His love endures forevermore. Magnificent, marvelous, matchless love, how great, how sure His love endures forevermore. Magnificent, marvelous, matchless love. Magnificent, marvelous, matchless love.
Few closing announcements here. On behalf of the family, they wanted to thank everyone for coming and welcome you to the reception down the hall. A few things here. If you have not signed the guest book this morning, please do so as you exit. There will be an opportunity for that. And please stay in your seats. Brother Josh will be coming forward to lead a few songs while they usher you row by row to the reception. There's going to be a salad bar before you get to the, right as you enter the reception. And so they've asked me to pray for the food here before we start the ushering out here. So at this time, if you all want to rise, and I will pray for the food.